RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
After last night in the MVP odds shift that happened, to talk about it all, he joins us every single Tuesday here at 520, the great Albert Breer. Happy holidays, Albert. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys. What's up?
Oh, man. Same old, same old. We've had two different reports this week. One from Josina that says the Browns have talked to Chris Greer and Tom Telesco. And then another from Jeremy Fowler on Kevin Clark's podcast saying that the Browns have done preliminary search on the coaching market. When you hear those two reports, Albert, what does it make you think about where the Browns are with 1 week to go with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry?
I mean, I would just say this. I think it's going to be tough for them to go total status quo based on the year that they've had and where they are. And I think that that is hard for Jimmy and his family because I think they really like a lot of the people that work for them. I think they really like Andrew Berry as general manager. They really like Kevin Stefanski. They really like their coordinators, Reese and Schwartz. So there's a lot of people I feel like they really like in that building. And people I've talked to say Jimmy still doesn't know what he's going to do yet. Now, it's possible he does, and those people just aren't informed, and he has it in his head what's going to happen next. But, I mean, I think, like, you know, we've sort of run the gamut here of, you know, do they bring Andrew back and then let go of Kevin? Do they restructure, and Andrew is in some sort of elevated role, and now, you know, Kevin's either there or he's not there. So I don't know that anything's been completely ruled out. You know, the team has been competitive the last couple of weeks. They went toe-to-toe with Buffalo. Buffalo's a really good team. You know, they were able to knock off the Steelers. Could how they play on Sunday, you know, have an effect on things? I don't think anything's completely off the table yet. My expectation is that Jimmy would probably have talks with Kevin on what he wants to do and where they want to go. You know, and sometimes those talks don't wait until after the final game. They could have those talks at the end of this week, potentially. You know, I have a harder time seeing Andrew not being part of the mix in some way next year. But again, like, I think it's after all that water's under the bridge, after everything they've been through at the quarterback position, after everything that's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, the Deshaun trade and everything else, I don't know if they feel like they can run it back completely the same way it is now in 2026.
Can you take us through what that the involvement of like talking to coaches in a preliminary way, what that looks like, how often that's an occurrence?
Yeah. It's not uncommon. I think like a big piece of it, like, look, like if you are going to have a coaching search or you're even thinking about having a coaching search, those things move really fast, right? And they're competitive, and this is a little bit of a depleted market. The other thing that I think is important to remember here is, you know, I do think that there are – I think there's at least a team or two out there where they're on the fence and looking at it and saying, well, like, this isn't working completely the way we want it to, but maybe it looks better than what's out there on the market, right? In that, like, you don't have a Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel. And I would have sat here last year at this time and told you guys, like, Ben Johnson's getting a job, Mike Vrabel's getting a job. I'm almost positive. Right? Mm-hmm. That those two guys are going to wind up with jobs. And they got jobs. And I don't know that there's anybody I feel that way about this year. And that's not saying that it couldn't be a great head coach that comes out of the mix this year. There could be. But, you know, I think the way that most people would look at it is there are way more dice rolls this year. And, you know, I think for some owners, you know, if you're weighing it and you're, like, on the fence a little bit, you might wind up, because you're looking at that, giving your current coach another year, because you just look at it and you say, I'm not wild about the options that might be out there for me if I do move on.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
Jonathan, I feel bad. I didn't fully completely answer your question there. But, like, the other thing to remember there, too, is just, I think there are background checks and that sort of stuff. You want to have, like, those ducks in a row if there's even a chance that you're gonna be running a search. So this is in contact directly with the coaches. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. this is more background work, talking to agents, doing background checks, that sort of stuff.
Albert, how much, given what he did against Buffalo, that was a close game, even though it was a loss, given you just beat Pittsburgh, how much would a win and a nice performance from Shador matter for Kevin Stefanski as part of this conversation we're having?
Well, I certainly think, like, if they're going to go forward together, right? And I say that because I do think, like, Jimmy likes and respects Kevin enough that there would be some, you always hear, like, oh, it's a mutual parting, whatever. Like, whatever they decide to do, I think, like, they are going to sit down and talk about the whole thing, you know? I think if they are going to go forward together, it would have to be with, you know, some sort of defined plan for next year and going forward. And they would want to talk about that maybe in a more detailed way than you would coming off a normal season. And so what does that look like with the two first-round picks? What does that look like at quarterback? And, you know, if you do talk about that before the last game of the year, you know, can you see, like, pieces of those plan of that plan coming into place in Week 18? And can you visualize it looking out there on the field? So, you know, so much of this stuff can be so fluid this time of year. But, you know, I think another good showing certainly wouldn't hurt, especially when you look at the makeup of the team. And you see for the first time in a while, I mean, there are a half dozen rookies out there that you can see, you know, being a big part of your future.
On the first report that Nick had mentioned, Albert, the Telesco one and the Greer one, if they had that set up where you promote Andrew Berry and then it's either Telesco or Greer, what do you think of that? Do you think that's a good plan? Do you think that's something that would make sense even? Or is that something that now we're just adding more cooks to the kitchen?
I don't think it would be crazy. I think both those guys are good guys, professional. Both of them have, like, a heavy scouting background, you know? Like Chris Greer came up, like, through several different regimes in Miami and was a road scout. You know, Tom Telesco is more of an in-office scout, but worked for Bill Polian. And, you know, I think, like, built some pretty good rosters if you look at it in San Diego and then Los Angeles after they moved. So, you know, I think, you know, they both have experience, of course, looking at and drafting quarterbacks. You know, Tom Telesco was part of the team that drafted Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Not that those are tough calls, but, you know, then, you know, went to the Chargers and was there with Phillip Rivers. So he's seen what it looks like. Chris Greer was actually, like, there, you know, when they, you know, when the Dolphins drafted Ryan Tannehill. You know, he was in charge when the Dolphins drafted Tua. So I think some of that background can help too. I do think, like, there is, like, a piece to that, though. Like, if Andrew's still in the building, does that, like, sort of limit what you're looking at in GM candidates? In other words, like, do people look at that as a full-on GM job, or is it something a little less than that if Andrew's still in charge? I think that would be, you know, a fair question for anybody who's looking at the job to ask.
Albert, the Steelers losing on Sunday to the Browns set up this win or go home against the Ravens on Sunday. And if the Steelers lose, obviously that means they will have blown basically a two-game lead in the AFC North. Do you think that'll have any impact on Mike Tomlin's conversations with the Steelers about his future in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think you, like, look at that game, and it's just, I think we're going to be talking about the future of those franchises all week. Like, I think this is, like, in a weird way, becomes a little bit of a referendum game, you know? And, like, there's a lot on the line for both teams, of course. Like, just, you know, you win, you're in, you lose, you go home. So, I mean, it's, you know, ultimate some game here. There's no wild card berth for either of them. You know, but I think the other piece of it is, does that coach still have the juice in the big game? Is that coach still going to be able to get his team in position to play on a big stage? And so, you know, I do think to some degree, like, some of those conversations, a little bit of the awkwardness and everything else gets broken if now all of a sudden you're preparing for a playoff game next week. Whereas if you're not, like, some of the stuff that you're going through next week, maybe you're asking some of those bigger picture questions. You know, with some of the age on both rosters, particularly Pittsburgh, I think you're probably asking big picture questions on both sides, both on the side of the coach and the organization.
What'd you make of the big convo after that game where Myles Garrett in the post game said they were paying way too much attention to him and Aaron Rodgers was basically just trying not to be on the other end of the sack record? And it's something that Josh Allen had voiced the week prior as well. But in that game in particular, and that's a must-win game, Albert, did you feel like they were more concerned offensively, Pittsburgh was, about making sure that Myles didn't get the record as opposed to anything else?
Well, my first thought is I love Myles Garrett for speaking his mind, and he's always been that way. So keep it up, Myles. I love getting the way guys really feel like that. You know, as a guy, as somebody, like, storytelling is part of my job. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, there's so many things that go into an NFL game plan, you know. I think the interesting thing about the one with Aaron, right, because I don't think that was necessarily the case with Josh Allen. They're trying to win the game. You know, the Bills have a lot on the line. The Steelers do, too. I do think, like, you know, both things can kind of be true, you know, where you've got this older quarterback who doesn't move the way he used to, and you've got this terrifying pass rusher on the other side. It's like, of course, our first priority is to keep his hands off our quarterback. Well, at the same time, if you're doing that, you're preventing him from getting the record. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, yes, it was a priority not to let Myles Garrett break our 42-year-old quarterback in half. Like, does that mean your, like, priority is to stop him from getting the record? Yeah, maybe, but, like, it's really more about protecting the quarterback from, you know, an elite all-time pass rusher.
I get what you're saying. I think it's, you know, like a 1.88 time to throw, which is fastest in the NFL by a wide margin. And, like, if you watch the game, I'm sure you got to watch every game. I get it. But, like, there was so many plays, Albert, where it was just pretty obvious that in that moment, Aaron wanted to do anything but let anyone, not only Myles, but anyone get a sack on him.
Yeah, I kept an eye on that, too. Like, I did keep an eye on that game. Like, that was one of the games I had. You guys got the big screen treatment this week, just so you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I think maybe you guys got the window into, like, the way he's been playing for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I do think there is a little bit of that, and that is the difference. You know, when a quarterback gets old, and I do think the way you can see age in some of these guys, right? Like, I think it's always been the case. It was the case of Favre at the end. You even saw a little bit of it with Brady, with Manning. You certainly saw it. Is the clock changes, right? And I it becomes this equation of, so he drops back there, and, like, there's, you know, when you're the primary career, you can run around, you can protect yourself, right? And as you get older, you become less capable of protecting yourself. And you know the consequences of getting hit. So if you, like, know in the back of your head, I can't protect myself the same way I could 5 years ago, nearly the same way I could 10 years ago, well, then part of the equation for you is going to be, I got to get rid of the ball quicker. And if you take a couple of bad hits, right, because you couldn't protect yourself, and we've seen older quarterbacks take these hits, well, then isn't that going to speed you up a little bit more? Like, to me, like, that's one of the biggest ways you can see age in a quarterback is how quickly is he looking to get rid of the ball and how fast is it out of his hand and is he letting plays develop? And I think, you know, a lot of these who play into their late 30s, into their 40s, you know, most recently, I think you saw it in Matt Ryan a little bit, like, where they're just sped up because they can't protect themselves the same way they used to. And I certainly think that's the case with Aaron.
Albert, we don't get the chance to talk a lot of NFC East football with you, but Trevon Diggs was released or waived by the Cowboys today. Kind of surprising, given his name, and I think it was about 4 years ago, he had 11 interceptions. What happened between the Cowboys and Trevon Diggs?
Yeah, there was a wide-ranging disconnect. I think there was some dispute over how he was injured earlier in the year, and there were a few different things, like where the team just wasn't on the same page with Diggs, and then my understanding is there was a problem with him getting on the flight home. And I think at that point it was kind of, do we keep him around for the last week of the season when he just doesn't fit into what we're trying to build here? And we're really trying to have a positive final week of the year and like go rolling into the off season with good vibes. And I think that they've been through a lot there. Remember, there's like a trade at the beginning of the season. There was a real life tragedy in the middle of the season for them. With Marshawn Neal and stuff, they've dealt with a lot. And I think my sense was it was just like enough's enough. You know what I mean? Like, and we just don't want to deal with this the last week of the season. So they cut him. And, now what happens is he goes on waivers. And if you want to pick him up off waivers, it's $500,000, right? If you pick him up off waivers for $500,000, that's a lot for one game, but if you're a playoff team, maybe you would think about doing it because you get them for the playoffs, right? And so that would be the question is, like, do you want to pay $500,000 to get him into the playoffs? He doesn't have any guaranteed money left. So you probably cut him after the playoffs are over. He's got $15.5 million non-guaranteed for next year. I don't think anybody would pay that at this point. So he could be a flyer for somebody to take on the premise, like, well, he's going to act right while he's here, because he has to, because his career is on the line. So we'll see what happens. The other part of it is his tape wasn't very good. What we've seen recently from him on tape wasn't very good. But maybe if you're a playoff team, you have a need there. Buffalo took a flyer a few weeks ago, then Darius Slay, if you remember. Maybe somebody takes that sort of flyer on it. We'll see.
Albert, Ohio State, Miami tomorrow. Ohio State's offensive output against Indiana, no bueno. Miami, the 11th ranked defense in college football, according to PFF. What's your confidence that Ohio State's going to at least?
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Make it to the next round of the playoffs.
Pretty good. How do you guys feel?
I actually think because Miami's defense is so good, there's more doubt than I thought there would be going into this game, even though I know Carson Beck is in danger.
Yeah, I feel pretty good, Albert. Ryan Day doing the play calling, though. That's it. And he's making a Bella Danger joke. Don't mind him.
I would say, like, Ryan Day had a heavier hand in play calling during the playoffs last year than a lot of people know. And I think having Ryan as a play caller is going to be really interesting. And, you know, my one concern, right, like, I think it's fair to be concerned over the Miami defensive line, you know, and I do think, like, the defense, like, I think we are in that area where, you know, the defense can say to the offense, just get us 17 points. And one point of concern is, like, does the layoff affect them, right? Because we saw that last year with the top four seeds, and all of them, I think, looked a little off kilter. And if you remember, five, six, seven, and eight all won in that quarterfinal round. So that's the one thing. But I would say this, like, for whatever it's worth, I've heard Ohio State has done, like, just a crap load of sports science work on what happened last year to those teams. Has been part of the equation for them. So I think we'll win. I think if we play well, we win handily. But again, the layoff has me a little, like, just has, gives me a little bit of pause.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Happy New Year. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you next week.
Go Bucks.
Albert Breer there. I really wanted to do, because Carson Beck has been in a bell of danger, but I didn't really want to. I thought it was two
on the nose.
Two on the nose. I wanted to see if Albert was hip.
Yeah.
And then
he laughed after it. He knew.
He did.
He knew.
He knew. Can't beat those allegations. We'll react to what Albert had to say in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
And players during media availability as well as on the field action. Subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now to get all the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns all throughout the football season.
The other thing that I think is important to remember here is, you know, I do think that there are, I think there's at least a team or two out there where they're on the fence and looking at it. Saying, well, like, this isn't working completely the way we want it to, but maybe it looks better than what's out there on the market, right? You don't have a Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel. And I would have sat here last year at this time and told you guys, like, Ben Johnson's getting a job, Mike Vrabel's getting a job. I'm almost positive, right? Mm-hmm. That those two guys are going to wind up with jobs. And they got jobs. And I don't know that there's anybody I feel that way about this year.
Albert Breer, just in the previous segment there, giving us his take on the coaching market with the Cleveland Browns. We do have Lance Reisland coming up in about 15 minutes here. So I think what's interesting about what he's saying is it does seem like whether you listen to Jeremy Fowler on the This Is Football podcast or that sound, or that sound from Albert there,
yeah,
it does seem like the Browns are one of the teams that are 50-50 and that the lack of a Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel might be the thing that keeps Kevin Stefanski's job.
Which I have such a hard time with this, because it's like, in one side of it, you don't want to fire him with the idea that you don't have anyone better in place. But on the other side of this, I don't think you just keep somebody because a better option isn't out there either. Like, so if you hire somebody new and they stink, you're right back in the same spot next year as well. And you look dumb on top of it. But I also think at some point it's run its course. I know I gave you like seven different scenarios there. I apologize for that, but I hope you followed along with that.
I'm now cross-eyed, yeah. But I can uncross them.
In my brain, every one of them, they all followed, but I am sure I got very confused in
so
there.
So I guess what I think comes down to, when you don't have an obvious, you have to hire Mike Vrabel or Ben Johnson, right? Because I think one of the things probably hurting Jimmy Haslam in this, or maybe plaguing his mind, is can I really get better from Kevin Stefanski if mm-hmm. there isn't a Vrabel or Johnson? The Ravens fired Brian Billick, a guy who had got them a Super Bowl 6 years prior, 7 years prior. If you had said, is John Harbaugh definitively a better coach than Brian Billick, you wouldn't have been able to say it.
That's true.
What is interesting is the common thought when Bill Cowher retired was it was Wisenhunt or it was Russ Grimm. It was just who it was going to be. Mike Tomlin was seen as a Rooney Rule interview, and Mike Tomlin was looked at a hire as like, oh, they're not going with one of the guys that had been a part of what the Steelers are? So that wasn't a widely celebrated hire, other than it was, hey, this is a good family that knows how to hire head coaches. I don't care about, like, when I said David Shaw earlier, I think most people would go, him? Because he's not a hot coach. I don't give a rat's butt. I really don't. The question here is not, can you hire a coach that is going to make everybody outside of Berea go, ooh, the Browns are serious? And it's, can you find a coach that fits the structure that you have in place that can be what you need? And that means, can he be a leader of men? Can he talk and work within the Haslam leadership structure? And can he speak to the fans when you're not good?
Like, here's why I don't think
that's that hard.
But here's why I don't think they're going to be scared to do that. It's because I've already seen them do that. You know, they didn't bend to everything that Josh McDaniels wanted. Instead, they hired Kevin Stefanski. And they said Stefanski is this guy for reasons X, Y, and Z. And I'll never forget being on the air when it happened and it went down and the announcement came through and said, here it is. And I'm telling you, Nick, to a person, everyone that called in was so like, I can't believe it. They hired Stefanski. What is this? We don't even know this guy. What are they doing? Everyone wanted McDaniels, but like they made what is at the time considered, it was the unpopular hire in many ways. And so like, I know this regime can do that. I know they can do that. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a year where you interview three guys and make it. Like, I think you have to interview 15 guys. I really do think this is that John Harbaugh search.
So, again, you brought up Tomlin with good reason, because Tomlin, it was not, that was supposed to be a courtesy interview.
Yes.
And that was supposed to be the idea of, okay, sure, he got a chance to interview, and that'll be good for you in the long term when you go for a serious job you have a chance for, Mike. Yep. And the reality was, is he just blew their socks off in that process.
So, like, I think this is if you're going to do it, which I still think is up for debate.
Stephen Vogt did that with the Guardians.
No, 100%. Yeah, gosh, remember we
45
had
45 interview candidates.
We had the Guardians big board, and at some point, every time we'd do it, Dustin's eyes would glaze over. It's very fun for me.
That was 45 candidates that they interviewed,
yeah.
And how did they settle? Not settle. How did they land on Vogt? He just blew them away in the interview. He was like, this is our guy.
This is my recollection of how the Ravens talked through their decision to get Harbaugh in the moment. That basically everybody had a pool of candidates, three or four or five guys, and it was like six guys in the committee. Everybody had three or four guys to interview in the first round, and then everybody made their recommendation, and then you went to the second round, and then everybody kind of cross-interviewed everybody, and over the course of, I think it was something like 12 to 18 candidates. They whittled it down to Harbaugh. And so much of it was everybody got to know each of the candidates we considered. And the more we brought you back for another interview, the more we got to know. This is that class. Listen, there's only 32 jobs. There are more than 32 qualified people to be an NFL head coach in the NFL. And the definition of qualified, and this is, I hate NFL coaching searches because it does turn out to something we talked about, which is, so what did you do with Pat Mahomes? What did you do?
Yeah.
Like, this Matt Nagy stuff is bonkers. Matt Nagy was an abject disaster in Chicago.
Absolute disaster.
And
yeah.
The idea, he's gone back now. He's learned more.
He stinks.
Dan Pompey of The Athletic wrote up this whole to-do on Matt Nagy being like, I'm going to end up a better coach because of what happened in Chicago.
Dan Pompey's covered Chicago for a long time. That was a courtesy interview.
Oh, yes, it was.
That's all that was.
But the idea, but there are people letting the message out there of, I've changed. No, you haven't. You're the same guy that got a job because of Pat Mahomes 6 years ago, and you're the same guy that's going to get a job for Pat Mahomes now.
I just tend to think of what you're talking about with Harbaugh and then cross-interviewing and doing other stuff. Like, think about it with entry-level jobs today's world. There's five or six interviews in those processes, and with reason, right? These are entry-level jobs, and they're having people go for five, six interviews, an insane amount of interviews. Through time and through interviews, you tend to have the cream rise to the top. Like, you can find out who can do what you want them to do and whose message actually lands.
Lance Reisland will talk Shador, the Browns offense, the win over the Steelers, and so much more in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk every week. I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.